You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Aadhaar in Hindi literally means foundation, and your Aadhaar card with its 12-digit unique identity number based on your biometric and demographic data is meant to serve just that function, to work as your ultimate calling card. However, somewhere along the way, banks and mobile companies invited themselves to the party and your data. On Digging Deeper, the Money Control podcast, before we break down the various facets of the recent Supreme Court verdict about Aadhaar, let us revisit a little bit of news.
The Deep Dive podcast series. What lies beneath our uneasy relationship with Aadhaar?
In a report that was published by various news outlets on the 10th of October, banks and mobile companies are not allowed under any condition to continue to do Aadhaar EKYC since the Supreme Court has clearly struck down parts of Section 57 and barred the use of Aadhaar biometrics data by private entities. This aspect of the laborious judgment is categorical in its firmness and states in no uncertain terms that private companies cannot, under any circumstances, demand Aadhaar card or number in lieu of their services. This, however, does not invalidate the constitutional validity of Aadhaar, which the Supreme Court has upheld. The Supreme Court has, however, cut out the white noise that private entities created around the card by striking down many irrelevant things related to the Aadhaar card linkage. This bit of news does not break any new ground, since the Supreme Court last month, by a majority decision, struck down parts of Section 57 of the Aadhaar Act. But it does clarify something important, that even if a customer is willing and gives his or her consent to a private entity to use Aadhaar, the card can only be used as an ID or address proof like other documents in the manner of a voter's ID, driver's license or a ration card. The key point here is that biometric verification, or eKYC, is out of the question, as it would impinge upon the right to privacy of such individuals, and hence it is unconstitutional. In the Aadhaar judgment, the apex court had specified, as reported by many media agencies, that Section 57 in its original form was susceptible to misuse, and we caught news sources on some of these features. A. It can be used for establishing the identity of an individual for any purpose. We read down this provision to mean that such a purpose has to be backed by law. Further, whenever any such law is made, it would be subject to judicial scrutiny. B. Such purpose is not limited pursuant to any law alone, but can be done pursuant to any contract to this effect as well. This is clearly impermissible, as a contractual provision is not backed by a law, and therefore first requirement of proportionality test is not met. C. Apart from authorizing the state, even any body, corporate or person is authorized to avail authentication services, which can be on the basis of purported agreement between an individual and such body, corporate or person. Even if we presume that legislature did not intend so, the impact of the aforesaid features would be to enable commercial exploitation of an individual biometric and demographic information by the private entities. Thus, this part of the provision, which enables body, corporate and individuals also to seek authentication, that too on the basis of a contract between the individual and such body, corporate or person, would impinge upon the right to privacy of such individuals. This part of the section thus is declared unconstitutional. Unquote. As the Financial Express reported, on the other end of the spectrum is the stipulation that Aadhaar can only be demanded by government agencies for subsidies granted by the government and for linking PAN cards. The ramifications. Meanwhile, on October 1st, the Unique Identification Authority of India, or UIDAI, directed telecom companies to submit a plan to stop using this 12-digit unique ID number for customer authentication in 15 days. As PTI stated, a circular in this respect was issued to the telecom service providers, or TSPs, including Bharti Airtel, Reliance Jio, Vodafone Idea and others. As Kush Garg wrote in the Times of India on the 30th of September, the Supreme Court verdict and the subsequent directive by UIDAI came after more than half a billion bank accounts were linked with Aadhaar, post a massive advertising campaign to make India digital. And pensioners, individuals, retired army officials, etc., rushed to link their accounts when they were threatened that their accounts would be closed. A deadline was set and many bank accounts were closed due to the not linking of the Aadhaar card with them, recalls Kush. Not just Kush, but many other observers have also reported just how in the middle of all of this, panic, there were security breaches and irregularities that happened as well, and school admissions were denied. Starvation deaths were reported because unlettered consumers could not furnish an Aadhaar card. In August, in fact, according to data released by the Right to Food or RTF advocacy group, 14 people died of starvation in Jharkhand over a span of 10 months because in the absence of an Aadhaar card, they could not benefit from the Antyodaya Anna Yojana or AAY, which is the food ration scheme meant for the poorest of the poor in India. This was, of course, refuted by the Jharkhand government. Before the Supreme Court verdict, a new SIM card could be purchased with the help of Aadhaar, and many consumers discarded old SIM cards because they were not linked to Aadhaar. Dire warnings from banking and telecom companies flooded inboxes. Kush also cites irregularities like how one date of birth was marked on all the residents' Aadhaar in many Uttarakhand, Uttar Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh villages. Now, it remains to be seen, post the directions of the Supreme Court, what will happen to the private data that telecom companies already have access to and how the violations that have already impinged upon the right to privacy can be rendered null and void. And if this digital thumbprint can indeed help those who really need tangible support. And we refer to the poorest of the poor. In a nutshell, just in case memories need to be refreshed, here are some of the Aadhaar verdict's salient features which have pleased some consumers and also confounded a lot of others. For instance, if Aadhaar is not mandatory for opening a bank account and a PAN card is mandatory for opening a bank account and Aadhaar is mandatory for the issuance of a PAN card, then what exactly is being achieved in the process? Is this not an indirect way of forcing people to part with their sensitive private data? Adding to this confusion is also the directive that PAN and Aadhaar are mandatory for filing tax returns. Then there were these, tongue-in-cheek tweets about how you no longer needed to link your Aadhaar to your memes. But we're digressing because, well, some Twitter handles did point out the irony of negating the need for Aadhaar for a SIM card or a new bank account, but making it mandatory for those who need something as basic as rice from the government to subsist on a daily basis. So Aadhaar will be required for availing government welfare services like public distribution system. But here goes a list of services where Aadhaar will not be required. Not compulsory for Central Board of Secondary Examination, the National Eligibility Cum Entrance Test or NEET for Medical Entrance and the University Grants Commission. Not compulsory for school admissions. Not needed for opening a bank account, for mobile phone connections, for digital wallets, eKYC, etc., or obtaining a new SIM card, as we've stated earlier as well. Not required for financial services like Public Provident Fund and National Savings Certificate, etc. Now, here are some other pointers. Much to the annoyance of activists, as we pointed out before, Aadhaar is still mandatory for availing government benefits and welfare schemes, even though it comes in the way of the fundamental right to food and basic necessities. A point all consumers would do well to remember is that according to the Supreme Court verdict, the retention of data beyond the period of 6 months is impermissible. Parents must consent to enroll children for Aadhaar and the children will have the choice to opt out of the scheme once they turn 18. Thankfully, children cannot be denied any kind of benefits in the absence of Aadhaar cards. Section 33(2) of the Act has been struck down, which allowed identity and authentication data to be disclosed in the interest of national security on the direction of an officer not below the rank of Joint Secretary to the Government of India. The verdict has also directed the government to ensure that illegal immigrants are not able to benefit from Aadhaar. There was unmitigated approval of the fact that the verdict empowers people to seek removal of their personal information from the records of telecom, banking, mutual funds and insurance firms that had earlier demanded biometric authentication, but then nobody knows for sure just how to go about this. Here's how, according to sources, you can de-link your Aadhaar. Multiple articles suggest that consumers should go to their bank's net banking website and in the profile or personal details section, find the option to de-link Aadhaar. They can select the option and then will receive an SMS confirming the same. In case a consumer does not have access to net banking, or if the net banking site doesn't have the D-Link Aadhaar option, then a request can be submitted to the bank so that the delinkage can happen. The same method can be used in the case of e-wallets. We also suggest that listeners, in case they are worried about their biometric information stored on UIDAI servers, do some research and authenticate the articles that offer steps that can supposedly help in adding an additional sheath around their data. From spurious calls to information on the web, when it comes to Aadhaar, verify the source before you act on a tip. Is there a new law in sight? On the 7th of October, Finance Minister Arun Jaitley was quoted by multiple news sources as he hinted that a Parliament-approved legislation could restore mandatory linking of biometric ID Aadhaar with mobile phones and bank accounts. Does that mean that the government will fashion a new law to achieve this end? Well, we don't know just as yet, and neither do we know just what the government stands to gain by introducing such a law, except for facilitating a porous environment prone to leaking citizens' data. According to the minister, and as reported by Business Today, the verdict was a very sound judgment, as the court accepted that there is legitimate state aim in Aadhaar. At the HD Leadership Summit, he said that the Aadhaar is not a citizenship card, but its chief aim is to disperse government money in the form of various support and subsidies to all kinds of people. We quote him via Business Today. What had not been upheld falls in two categories. One is the principle of proportionality that Aadhaar will help in these cases and then do it by an appropriate law. So the whole argument which was given that private companies can't use it, there is Section 57 which says you can authorize others either by law or contract. So what has been struck down is by contract. Unquote. He added that a legal provision through a legislation could restore the linking of Aadhaar with mobile phones and bank accounts. He said, and we quote again, by law, it can still be done, provided you do it under the adequate provision of law and do it on the basis of that, in this field, it is necessary. If you're able to show the kind of data that in mobile telephony, Aadhaar linkage will help, it can happen. So mobile and bank accounts are two critical areas. Unquote. Whether this adds up or is just equivocation is something for the fine print analyst to decide, but the fact remains that the Supreme Court has on one hand declared a biometric ID constitutional and on the other hand curtailed its use by private entities who have used private data in the past for not very upright ends. Last month, Huffington Post's India edition had run an investigative piece outlining how the biometrics and personal information of over 1 billion Indians were compromised by a software patch that disables critical security features of the software that's used to enroll new Aadhaar users. We quote, "The patch, freely available for as little as 2,500 rupees, allows unauthorized persons based anywhere in the world to generate Aadhaar numbers at will and is still in widespread use." Unquote. In this context, perhaps a little more scrutiny is required on the part of the citizens and some more vigilance indeed from the UIDAI. A few questions remain. As the doubters and naysayers have been asking for a long time now, we clearly need to figure whether a system like Aadhaar serves a citizen or does the citizen end up serving the system? Now, this is a question that the Aadhaar imbroglio has not yet answered. Another concern that has been expressed repeatedly is just why is this level of surveillance needed for ordinary citizens when the financial dealings of all political parties remain locked in secrecy? This question, too, continues to exist unattended, like the proverb, elephant in the room. Finally, as a few articles have observed and asked, is it healthy for any government to overturn a Supreme Court ruling and open the door to more such interventions by future governments? Were Justice D.Y. Chandrachud's fear about a surveillance state unfounded, or were they based on fact? Because the delivery of subsidies and other benefits cannot in any way be improved by Aadhaar's linkage to phone numbers and bank accounts. So what is the real purpose of this need to overrun the Supreme Court ruling? Or are we jumping the gun because as of now there is no concrete proof that just before the elections the government will invest time and energy in battling the Supreme Court with a new law cooked up in the Parliament? But as a recent opinion piece in the DNA emphasized, there was no pressing need to pass the Aadhaar bill as a money bill in a hurried manner in the first place. We quote from the piece, "The lone dissenting judgment of Justice Chandrachud expressed disapproval of this ruse and termed it as a fraud on the Constitution." unquote. The article also expressed concern that as per media reports, as many as 49,000 Aadhaar enrollment agencies have been blacklisted due to fraud and malpractices, which fly in the face of tall claims of UIDAI and the so-called robust Aadhaar architecture. We quote again, "The dissenting voice of Justice Chandrachud has raised concerns over the false fait accompli and has held the Aadhaar project to be unconstitutional. He strongly doubted the methodologies adopted by the UIDAI with respect to biometric data and its linkage to the distinct database, which has the potential to alter the power structure that upholds the relationship between citizens and the state. He has rightly cautioned against the risk of abuse of data and how it can be a blow to individual liberty and privacy." India has more than 1.22 billion on Aadhaar rolls, and many of them do not get to know about data breaches and do not realize the value of their personal data. There is no mention of the word privacy in the Indian Constitution, but the seminal judgment of Justice Puttaswamy in 2017 has held the right to privacy to be a fundamental right. Unquote. The line between a welfare state and a surveillance state is not a fine one, and one cannot pass for the other. As a punchline in a Hrishikesh Mukherjee film went, the freedom of an individual is as important as that of a nation. But then, let us walk back to the erudite DNA piece that asks just how much privacy can be given up. How transparent do we want to be? How much do we want our government to watch us? How much risk, in terms of internal and external security, are we willing to accept as the price for our privacy? How do we measure that risk, and how do we know that by giving up a certain level of privacy, we are safer? Unquote. Regardless of the merits of any project, as the DNA piece conveys, coercion by the state in any form is unhealthy, and the social, political, and economic motivations behind the project should have been subject to intense parliamentary scrutiny. The focus, says the piece, needs to shift from mere data gathering to data protection and usage. If that transition will be made successfully in the future for the benefit of all citizens, is something that we will only know in time.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.